Chapter 18. The Amber Inn is a rarity in downtown Chicago, a reasonably priced hotel. It isn't large or particularly fancy, and it wasn't designed by an architect with three names. No one infamous has owned it, lived in it, or been machine-gunned to death there. Thus, stripped of anything like a good excuse to stick it to the customer, one needn't schedule a visit to a loan officer in tandem with making a reservation, even though the Amber Inn is fairly central to Chicago. It was the kind of place I always tried to pick on the occasions my work had taken me to another town for a client's business. My job, in cases like that, is investigating, not checking out four-star hotels. The most important thing was to be close to where I would be working, and that I not run up an unmanageable bill. I've heard that some private investigators make it a point to stay somewhere nice at the client's expense, but it always seemed unprofessional to me, and a bad way to conduct business in the long term. It stood to reason that Elaine would have chosen it for similar reasons. I didn't ask after her at the desk. I didn't need to. I just told Mouse, "Find him." Mouse sniffed the air, and we started walking down halls like we owned the place. That's always important, the confidence. It keeps people from getting suspicious about why you're stalking around the building, and even when it doesn't deter them, it makes them respond more cautiously. Mouse finally stopped at a door, and I extended my hand, half closing my eyes, feeling for magic. There was a ward over the door. It wasn't terribly fancy or solid, it couldn't be, without a threshold to use as a foundation, but it was exceedingly well crafted, and I was sure it was Elaine's work. The spell looked like it would release only a tiny bit of energy, probably a pulse of light or some kind of audible sound that would alert her to company. I debated for a moment, making a big bad wolf entrance, and decided against it. It wouldn't be terribly polite to Elaine, and the only person I wanted to scare was Helen Beckett, assuming she was there. Besides which, tipped off by her alarm and wary about a murderer, Elaine might well send a lightning bolt through the doorway before she had a chance to see who was there. I knocked. Nothing changed. But my instincts warned me that someone was on the other side of the door. Not magic, just the sudden absence of the simple, solitary feel one gets when standing alone in an empty house. I sensed a little stirring of the magic in the ward. Then the door rattled and swung open, revealing Elaine standing on the other side, one corner of her mouth tilted up in amusement. "Oh, I get it," I said. "Not a ward. A peephole." "Sometimes a girl's got to improvise," she said. "You look awful." "Long night." "It must have been. I thought you were going to call." "I was in the neighborhood." She pursed her lips in speculation. "Were you?" I saw the wheels turning in her head for a moment, and then she nodded once and lowered her voice. "Which one?" "Beckett," I murmured back. "She's here." I nodded, and she opened the door the rest of the way at the same time I stepped through it. She slipped to one side as I walked briskly into the room. It was clean, plain, a kind of mini-suite with a queen bed, a couch, and a coffee table. Priscilla sat on the couch in a pea-green turtleneck and a scratchy-looking wool skirt and scowled at me in disapproval of Dickensian proportion. Abby and Toto occupied the floor, where Toto was engaged in mortal combat with a white athletic sock he had pulled partway from the foot of his plump little owner, who sat looking distracted and distant. Anna sat on the edge of the bed, dark eyes tired, bloodshot, and serious, while Helen stood by the window again, holding the curtain aside just enough to gaze out. Toto promptly abandoned the field of battle upon spying Mouse, and walked in a little nervous circle within a couple of inches of Abby's lap. Mouse went over to trade sniffs with the little dog and promptly settled down to begin grooming Toto with long licks. "Ladies," I said, then after a brief pause added, "Mrs. Beckett." She didn't look at me. She just smiled and stared out the window. "Yes, Mr. Dresden. What do you know?" I asked her. "I beg your pardon," she said. "You know something about this, and you aren't talking. Spill." I can't imagine what you mean, she said. Anna Ash rose and frowned. Mr. Dresden, surely you aren't accusing Helen of being involved in this business? I'm pretty sure I am, I said. Do they know about the first time we met, Helen? Have you told them? That drew looks from everyone in the room. Helen? Abby said after a moment. What is he talking about? Go ahead, Mr. Dresden, Helen said, very faint, very dry amusement, giving her monotone a little life. I wouldn't dream of cheating you of the satisfaction of looking down at one less righteous than yourself. What is she talking about? Priscilla demanded. She glared at me, probably with her mind already made up as to what she was going to think of me, regardless of what I said.